Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
We're going to be sharing a story with you today that in parts of it will terrify you, and other parts of it, it's going to cause you to just lift up your praise unto God like never before. It's a remarkable story, and it is the story of Captain James Woodford. And it's so wonderful to have you on the program today. You are the author of Heaven, An Unexpected Journey, and that's what we're going to talk about, is this very encounter, because at the time of this program, you've only been born again for about 4 years, and you were born again in heaven.
That's
and I
correct.
Don't think many people have that testimony of actually dying in the earth, being taken up into heaven, and literally born again in the physical and in the spiritual. So I want you to share your story with our viewers and tell us, first of all, a little bit about who you were before you had this experience and what you were doing.
Well, first of all, thank you for the privilege of being on your show. Look, I know it's the age of cynicism and skepticism, and you can go on the internet and find people that have had incredible experiences, but this actually happened to me. As an airline captain, as a pragmatic businessman, I just never believed. And although my wife was a firm Christian, I just never could find, being so technically minded, something that could make me believe that this incredible world existed. And then I come down with a terrifying disease. There were complications, and I was without brain sign for 11 hours. But to lead up to that, I was born in northern Canada. And in those days, I grew up around seaplanes and float planes and fell in love with aviation. Eventually got my flying license and became a pilot and flew for a number of airlines and did a lot of charter work. And I was fortunate enough to get on the very end of the true bush flying, where you literally had no GPS, no cell phones, just navigating your way through the north. And I learned a lot of lessons. And I had, not to be dramatic, Patricia, but in that environment, you have many close calls. And I, arrogantly enough, thought that I was so good that no matter what happened, I could survive it. I realize now in the clear light of hindsight that God's hand was on my life.
He protected you.
He did. He did.
So Jim, when you were on your deathbed, I mean, you actually passed over. And your wife was an RN, and mm-hmm. and you were, you know, you had medical people. You have medical reports to prove that you were gone.
That's correct.
And tell us what happened when you passed over.
Well, I after a lifetime of good health, and as a captain, you're checked medically every 6 months to make sure you're fit to fly. And I seem to have led a charmed life. I not only had perfect health, everything I touched turned to gold. I got into business, was very successful, was living the quintessential American-Canadian dream. But I contracted a little over 5 years ago a disease called Guillain-Barré. And for those of your listeners who are not familiar, it was first isolated as a disease by Dr. Guillain and Dr. Barré in Paris in the 1940s. And in effect, what happens is the myelin sheath on your brainstem erodes, and it's as though you peeled away the insulation on an electrical cable and all the signals are going wild. And for me, it manifested in paralysis and tremendous pain. I was misdiagnosed, so before they even realized what it was, I had a full-blown case. But I actually made it through that, but came out the other end with incredible pain, constant pain, all sorts of issues, had to learn to walk, to swallow, literally to talk again. But you know, never once through all that did I ever look to the heavens and say, God, if you're real, would you help me? In my arrogance, Patricia, because I'd always been able to fix everything, I thought that I'll get through this. I'll get through this. But in fact, what happened was the pain got worse, and I'm not talking nuisance pain or inconvenient pain. I'm talking screaming out in the middle of the night. I actually kept a leather belt by the bed to keep from waking my wife, something to bite on as I screamed. And so I lived like that for a year, year and a half. And I tried to find a cure. There is no cure for Guillain-Barré. I tried a number of physicians in different countries. Nothing worked. But I did meet a doctor who was a pain specialist. And for the very first time, he prescribed opioids. Now look, it's important for you to know and for the audience to know that as a captain, as a pilot, I never required anything. I never took drugs. The strongest I ever took was an aspirin. If I wanted to get high, I got my own plane, went up to 30,000 feet. Mm-hmm. So I was never, but I do understand addiction now because I was taking it to lessen the pain. Little did I know that the combination of the after effect of the disease and the medication was building up a tolerance that my body could not withstand. And one day, in a field facing the setting sun that I had gone to look at, I died in my truck. I died in my truck. My wife called the police because I was missing overnight. Eventually they were able to triangulate my cell phone and discover my body in the truck. But in that period of time, I saw something incredible, Patricia. I mean, I know that many of your listeners are already believers, but I speak from the advantage and disadvantage of never having been a believer. So to suddenly be transported through this tunnel of light, to come out the other side into this incredible split in front of my vision, where on the right of my vision there was this beautiful mist-colored field, completely filled with flowers, but covered with a beautiful mist that clung to the trees and the flowers. But then to the left of this, as though it were a median line in front of me, that beautiful green grass went from green to brown to scorched to black. And always been an inquisitive person. I couldn't understand the dichotomy between right. The two. So I made my way over and looked down this black crevasse canyon. And I saw way down at the bottom of this canyon, like a distant campfire in a dark forest, this glowing red light. And as I looked down in fascination, I heard something. And it was the sound of as though two massive iron doors were being opened on hinges that had not been opened in a long time. And they screeched and screamed as the hinges were forced open. And fascinated by the sound, I looked closer. And then to my absolute dismay, something began to shuffle through these doors, lit only by this distant light. And it was massive in its size. And it had a body that was I thought it was filled with smoke, but then it was more solid than smoke and less than fog. But it seemed to be shape-shifting. And as I looked in absolute amazement and growing horror at what I was looking, there was an odor that came out of that pit when those doors opened. Patricia, it was the smell of death and decay, of things long dead, of things that should never see the light of day. The smell of absolute despair. And I'm watching, and suddenly this thing shuffled forward, and then it turned and gazed up at me. Hollywood could not have created something as hideous as what looked at me, because the look of pure hatred in its eyes and on its face for me was indescribable for me. It hated me and all of mankind. And suddenly it began to climb up that rock wall effortlessly. Wow. toward me. And it was huge. And it didn't take it. And as I watched, I started to reel backwards, and it reared up out of that pit and reared above me. And it was massive in its size. And as it reared up over me, I heard something else. From its body, I could hear screaming. It wasn't it screaming. It was something trapped inside of its body, as though it had consumed, I suppose, souls.
Wow.
But then I heard something even more incredible, Patricia. I heard my name being called. My name. This creature knew me. What did I do to deserve this? I didn't do anything. I just ignored God. And this was the consequence. And I have people say to me, you shouldn't talk about this. It scares people. People need to know. Yeah. There's a consequence to not loving and knowing God.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little carried away, but that's my mission, is to not have anyone to see what I saw.
I just want to say is that hell is a very real place. Demons are very real. And we live in a day and hour where so much of this is taken lightly. We just say, oh, well, whatever. We'll just do whatever we want. We'll make our own way. Even within the church, oftentimes there's a lack of reverence for God. But, you know, Scripture warns us about a place called hell. Scripture warns us about eternal punishment. This is very real. And you might be watching the program right now and you're terrified, but sometimes it's not a bad thing to be terrified. Even Jesus himself preached on this very subject because he wants us to come to him. And if you don't know him right now, we're going to share more about what happened after this encounter, because he was taken into a glorious encounter where he saw Jesus and places in heaven and hallways in heaven that were absolutely glory filled. But God wants to reach your heart now. He wants you close to him. He wants you safe. He wants all mankind safe. And you get to choose who you're going to spend eternity with. So, Jim, that was a terrifying encounter that you had when you passed over. And that was an 11-hour experience you had in heaven. Although, as you mentioned, as we were together before the program, time isn't measured the same in heaven. It's just you are, but, you know, but time isn't measured. But in the natural, you were gone for 11 hours. Now, let's take it up, because now the good part begins. Okay, so you've got this demon that's calling your name, that knows you, that, you know, that you are realizing in that moment that you have a choice to make and that you do have a will. But then some intervention took place. So why don't you share about that?
So with this thing snarling and calling my name, and I was absolutely overcome. I mean, I'd love to tell you I stood there to do battle. I didn't. I was terrified. And in my terror, I turned toward the light. Because, Patricia, we are creatures of the light. Mm-hmm. And I turned to the light for comfort. And then I said probably the most important words I will ever utter. I raised both my hands and I cried out, God, help me. Help me. Me, who had no reason, no expectation, no reason at all for God to turn to someone. Mm-hmm. But that's the story of what happened to me, is it's never too late. It is never too late.
You know what, Jim, I was a nurse also. And so I had opportunity to minister to people when they were taking their last breath. Yeah. And many of them were atheists and, you know, didn't have any faith in God and were mockers of, but on their deathbed, they're saying the same thing. God, help me.
Yep.
They're crying out to God. We know that we need God. So,
well, someone once wrote that there are no atheists in foxholes and there are no atheists on deathbeds.
Yeah, exactly. So you call out
for
help.
And suddenly, with this thing snarling at my back, and I can remember as though it was 5 seconds ago, the sound of its saliva slapping on the ground. That's how huge it was. And I cry out, and suddenly 3 points of light, like distant stars in a morning sky, came rapidly toward me. And with this thing calling my name and the bodies inside of it screaming, I concentrated to keep my sanity on these lights. And suddenly they began to take form. And I remember thinking, are these angels? I mean, I wasn't religious, but everyone's gotten a Christmas card at one time or another
sure.
with an angel in it. I knew what it was. And they came in so rapidly, and what preceded them was this beautiful light that came ahead of them. And that light washed over me, Patricia, and I turned in time to see that light hit that creature, and it shrieked and screamed as if burnt.
Wow.
And it scrambled backwards down that hole like a rat running for cover. And that's why I tell people, darkness and evil simply cannot exist in the light of God.
Wow.
It simply cannot exist.
Do you believe that that was Jesus manifesting as light?
I think it was the light of Christ.
Yeah.
I do. And
yeah.
they came with that as a shield.
Yeah.
And so I concentrate now on these beautiful beings. And I mean, I'm sure you've had, over your long career, had thousands of people tell you what angels look like. But they're tall. They are tall. Neither male nor female. But this beautiful, strong and yet gentle face. But one was 10 feet tall, 13 feet tall, 15 feet tall. I found out later the 10-foot tall one was my guardian, whom I had had all my life. Now, that poor angel pulled an awful tour of duty, I'll tell you. But he was beaming with,
sure.
You know, and they came right up to me. And in the interest of time, I have to move ahead very quickly. But they came right up to me, and they didn't speak to me, and it's not telepathy. I call it thought transference. It was as though they were in my mind, but not controlling it. And they smiled at me, and then one of the angel said to me, "Fear not, James. We are your constant friends." And now if you ever get an email or anything from me or a letter, it's signed, "Your constant friend."
Oh, beautiful.
I just signed the wall in your office,
yeah.
"Your constant
oh,
friend."
Beautiful.
So these beautiful creatures, and all of a sudden one came up and put his arm right around me, and I look up at him and he's looking down at me. I say he only because I don't want to say it. It wasn't male nor female. But I'm looking up at those beautiful, the striking violet eyes, and I learned something interesting. Angels never blink. Now you think about that. On this poor earth of ours, when someone looks at you like this, mm-hmm. it's usually not good news.
Right.
But when an angel looks at you unblinkingly, it wow. is, "We love you, we're here to protect you, you are God's child."
Wow. Beautiful. I guess when we blink, it's actually a protection for the eye, and in the glory realm, you don't need protection.
I'd not thought of that before,
yeah.
but I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So then what happened?
Well, he came right up, put his arm around me, and suddenly his wing came out around and cuddled me right up to his body. And look, if an electric shock could feel good, that's what it was like. This vibratory quality
beautiful.
That made me feel so alive. And I felt so safe and protected from the creature that just minutes ago was about to kill me again. and as I reached over in my love for this creature and put my hand on his arm, and then I felt I shouldn't have done that, so I pulled my hand back, and when I did, the light from its body clung to my hand till I got it back about
beautiful.
10 inches and went back into the body.
Wow.
That's why I tell people something you've never heard in church before. The love of God is sticky, Patricia.
Yes.
The love of God is sticky.
Yes.
It wants to cling to you. It wants you back. It is the sticky
wow.
love of God. And I felt so safe and protected, and people have said to me, "Jim, what's it like to be hugged by an angel?" And I thought about that for a long time, and finally I came up with the only explanation. Being hugged by an angel of God is like being hugged by 50 grandmothers at once. with a hint of tapioca. I smell tapioca.
Oh, wow. I
and
love
there's a
tapioca.
Reason for, and there's a reason for that.
I was out for lunch with a friend a little while ago, and I was eating some tapioca, and they said, "Ugh, how can you stand that? I can't stand tapioca." I said, "I love tapioca. It must be because it's heavenly food."
If I may, in the interest of time, I'll be very brief. Here's what a loving God we serve. He remembered that when I was a little kid, beating my way home through a snowstorm in northeastern Canada to my grandmother's home, she would brush the snow off me, put me in front of the wood stove, and give me a big warm bowl of tapioca.
Oh, isn't
he remembered.
He knew that.
The God of the universe yeah. remembered that I liked tapioca
oh,
as a child.
Oh, I love it. He's so kind and awesome. Okay, So then you're getting all this warmth and love.
Then the tall angel comes forward, the one that's hugging me, lets go, and he bowed to me. And I was stunned. I thought at first they were just being polite, because I've got this 15-foot tall warrior angel. He is dressed for battle. He had come to do battle with the demon, and it had fled from the light of Christ. But he comes forward and he bows to me. And as I said, I thought they were being polite, not so. Here's why angels bow to us. They see the light of their master in us.
Wow.
Think about that. We, who consider ourselves the lowliest of God's creations, but why in each one of us, Patricia, you know this, the light of God is in us.
Mm-hmm.
We are God's children. And so they see the light of their master in you.
Wow.
And in your team and in me and in all who are listening. The light of God is in us.
Let me ask you a question, Jim. So you never accepted the Lord before this time. You were always actually mocking him and you know, believers in that. So when was it that light came into you? Was it at the point when you saw that evil entity that you turned to him and made a decision, or when did you actually invite that light in?
No, it was a little further down the path.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guardian, as he stood straightened back up, he looked at me with those beautiful violet eyes, and he said, James, would you walk with us? And he brought his arm back, and this beautiful path, and I turn, and with a guardian on either side, mm-hmm. and the tall guardian behind, I began my walk through mm-hmm. paradise. Patricia, if we had 10 hours,
right.
I couldn't cover it all. But very quickly, my vision changed. I had 360-degree panoramic vision. I could look off in the mountains of heaven and see the petals on a flower.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful trees, flowers that don't exist on earth, colors that are so amazing, and flowers that sing to you.
Yes.
That sing to you. And their color has sound, and sound has color. So the sound of the flowers singing turned to this light-colored mist.
I've actually seen that in glory, too. I've actually had that very experience.
Look, I've not experienced anything that other people
haven't. With the flowers singing, it's true. Heaven is a very real place, and it's so amazing. Everything's full of life. Everything's full of life and love. It pulsates with it. This is really beautiful.
It does. It's like it's got a vibrational quality, mm-hmm. and I don't want to sound new agey, but it's like...
It does vibrate. Yeah.
So anyway, we're walking through, and they're showing me, and I'm asking all these questions. I mean, I have 6 journals of memories of heaven,
wow.
far more than are in this little
right.
book. We wanted to make that affordable, and the proceeds from this book go to the people that sponsored me in Pennsylvania called Partnership for Revival, and they support missions around the world.
Wow, beautiful.
So we're walking along, they're explaining, and the amazing thing was, before I could finish asking a question, they gave me the answer. And we walk along, we come up a slight path. Now, something I didn't talk about, but horses have always been an important part of my life. I grew up with them. My grandfather logged with them. And we have horses as we speak at home.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I met on Arabian horses. We're walking along, we come to a split rail fence, and I look, and they are there, and the angel points, and there are 3 of the most spectacular horses you can ever imagine. He makes a little motion, they trot over to the gate, and as they trotted toward me, as they trotted across the grass, lights skittered up from their feet. They came up, I put my hand on them, the same thing that had happened with the angel, the light of the body came to me. So then suddenly, they asked me to hold their hand, they lift me above what I thought was a huge reflecting pool, but it opened up, and suddenly I realized I'm looking down on God's heavenly home, this beautiful, incredible place that I thought was just some old legend. And because of my expanded vision, they took me on kind of a visual fly-through. And I'm able to look at these magnificent buildings, not unlike the Parthenon, but hewn from blocks of light.
Mm.
Not stone. So everything had a warmth to it. But the most incredible thing that I'll quickly mention, not just the halls of learning and the halls of knowledge and the halls of healing, but there was one building that was magnificent. And in front of it was this huge grassy area, and playing there were thousands of children,
mm.
playing with birds and dogs and cats. And I said, what's that building? And the guardian looked at me with those violet eyes, and what he said made me cry. He said, that, James, is the nursery of heaven. And I said, nursery? And he said, yes, James, that is where the souls of aborted children, or children who die in their innocence, in childbirth or disease,
wow.
while in the age of innocence, come to be raised by the angels.
So touching. And I believe that there's someone watching right now that this is in particular really ministering to you. It's ministering to you because you had a child that died in your womb, another person. You had a child that died in their early childhood, And you've just been beside yourself, but there's such a beautiful place in heaven where they are. God has them and they're in glory. And I believe that this is coming to you as a comfort. You've heard a very, very powerful story today. It's a testimony. It's a testimony of God's love. A man who saw both the terrors of hell and death and the glories of heaven. A testimony that decrees and declares and glorifies the love of Jesus Christ. He loves us so much. And you might be watching this program today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior. Maybe, like our guest, that you were standing against God or mocking Him or mocking His people. But the Lord's knocking on the door of your heart right now and He's saying, just ask Him in. Believe in Him. Lay down your old life and just turn to Him and He will come in and He will cleanse you and give you a brand new life. His name is Jesus Christ and He is love itself. And so just receive Him today. It's through your faith, through your heart, just receive Him and He will come in. He wants you to know that He loves you with an everlasting love. He really does, and nothing can change that, but He wants you with Him for all eternity. Make sure that you are. I want you to look for part two of this interview, because we're going to also be sharing about the things that Jim saw in heaven and things that God spoke and things to consider about your eternal life, because you're going to spend it somewhere. So join us for part two.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.